Welcome back to DC Cinematic Minute, the daily podcast in which we analyze Zack Snyder's Justice League by each individual minute. My name is Mark. You can find me on all social media at Mark Meadows.
And my name is Nathan. You can find me on all social media at No Clutch Nate.
And today we're talking about minute 201, part 6, Something Darker. The minute's going to start with Flash telling Cyborg that he has obtained the charge. And then the minute is going to end with Steppenwolf telling Wonder Woman, "I watched your island burn." So we have some more mental games there by Steppenwolf as he tries to defeat the three champions that are fighting him right now. So in this minute, the Flash, he gets the charge. He's ready to do it. Cyborg is in position. He's ready to, with the charge from the Flash, disrupt this unity of these mother boxes. That doesn't happen. It's not a happy ending right now. And Steppenwolf will kind of succeed in disrupting them and their plan. So kind of a lot going on in this minute. Before we get started on this one, want to call back. I went to go rewatch the Justice League just now, the 2017 version, see what kind of differences there were for this minute. But in doing so, I kind of went back and watched last week that we talked about with the Batmobile and everything. It does show the Batmobile being destroyed, but it's broken by the crystals were happening from the terraforming. So it was all that terraforming that was happening.
Yeah.
One of the crystals came up and knocked the Batmobile sideways. And so that drifting part and getting hit by the turret, it was actually some crystalline formation that came up from underneath it and popped it up.
Okay.
And you still get the ejector seat Batman, he does come out of it, but you don't get the same triangulated shot that we talked about.
Yeah.
Instead, there's a first person shot of the grappling gun because they didn't do, I guess they were we don't know how else to do it differently.
Rather than gloves on someone and put a prop in your hand.
So he's falling in midair and you see the hand with the gun and it fires off. But then he actually still does the same thing where he will glide in, do the dodge roll, throw the bomb on. Wait, does he throw a bomb? I'd have to remember. But obviously it's not as violent for the Parademon as it was in this version. So a little bit different there. Another difference in the theatrical cut to this version is that, of course, we know that in the theatrical version, Barry Allen doesn't have to build a charge. So what he does instead is he brings Cyborg to the mother box. He speeds him up there. And that was his job. And he says, "I'll just start fighting parademons while you do that." And so that's what the Flash does.
Yeah, I guess there was the whole, I guess it was got down to it. They were I guess he doesn't really, they don't need to do that charge thing, right? That's kind of stupid. It's
And we also does eliminate Cyborg from being, having any action. He doesn't fight Steppenwolf at all.
Yeah.
What was your question, Nate?
I don't know. That was it. Just.
Oh, yeah.
That was it. There was no question.
Yeah. It is a shame, kind of Cyborg being reduced down, but and in some way the Flash is too, just continue to just be the comedic character, but not really using his abilities in any way other than saving this Russian family. He doesn't contribute to the stopping of Steppenwolf nor the mother boxes. So it is quite different. Similarities that we'll see in today's minute and this one, or this theatrical cut, is that Steppenwolf will grab Cyborg, and it's carried out a little bit differently. He'll grab Cyborg, stop him from interacting with the mother box, and then Wonder Woman will decide to break the bridge that they're on by clashing her gauntlet to the shield and rupturing the bridge with it, with that energy downward, and just destroying it so that all of them end up falling down into this second level.
I mean, that's the same thing that happens in this minute, though.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. This is the similarity between these minutes.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. There was a continuity error that I saw, and it happens towards the end of this minute. It is so the gang kind of falls twice. Steppenwolf really falls twice in this minute. Once when Wonder Woman breaks the bridge and he falls down and he loses grip of his axe and the axe kind of lands in the ground and he rolls over to it, picks it back up, and then goes to jump after Cyborg with axe in hand. And then he gets lassoed and pulled off the bridge again and then falls down again one more time, the second time. He loses his axe in that moment, but then when he lands, it's in his hand. And yeah, it's not right. Like he like caught it midair, because it visibly is getting thrown away from him, just like how it was when he first kind of fell. So
yeah, you're right. Wonder if
that's a similar animation, or, you know, they were like, well, he fell this time. I don't know. You know what I mean? It's like they reused like a fall or something.
You're right. And I almost, yeah, when we see it again, I wonder if that image was first for like the first fall, which would explain him losing the axe.
Yes.
Yeah. And then as he, yeah. Yep. Totally.
And the axe goes way flying away and his
body
goes,
yeah, it really flies away from him. But you're right. When he lands with axe in hand. And then this starts, yeah.
So it may have been a cut-up fight sequence. I wonder if, you know, that kind of may tell us that maybe the movie had longer fight sequences in it. Maybe there was extra scenes, other scenes that they animated of Steppenwolf falling and recuperating after getting hit or something, you know?
Yeah. It could also be, like, maybe they were like, well, we thought he would lose it and then go grab it again. Yeah. And then they were like, well... We need to hurry this up. To lose the axe and then having to go get it again is a bit redundant. And they do a really great choreographed bit for him to regain the axe the first time. So you'd be challenging yourself to tell the story of, well, how will he get the axe back? When you already did it once, entertaining.
He would have done the same thing.
It would have fallen on the ground. Roll under, grab.
Yeah, he would have just rushed over to it, grabbed it, and then jumped back up, just like how he does, or not jump back up, at least roll over to it, and I don't know, or make you lose it, and then it ends up in between you and your that's opposing how characters, and then it's like, you know, jump for the axe kind of thing.
Yeah, it's very challenging. I really like. I almost think I really want to say that this was a core. Like motion captured, motion performance bit here with Steppenwolf. Like, obviously, it's super enhanced with visual effects. That someone in a mocap suit would roll underneath like a foam green axe, and then having to roll, grab axe, and swipe down, and then be like, cut. Okay, like that's the motion we want. So when he falls down the first time because the bridge collapsed. I feel like there's a choreographed shot of someone rolling under the green axe and then flipping up, grabbing axe and swiping down. It just seems like such a performed move that it almost looks like someone may have done that, at least maybe even for previs, just so they can go off of that. But yeah, it's a really well done, like, martial art move. Far as action,
quick motion.
I like that. I really like that.
I dig it.
Little dance that they do right there.
But it's again, really we're cool. there's no tell of whatever new glowy-eyed power Steppenwolf has. So at least right now, he's still on the same level he's always been. It's just the differences. You got the Justice League fighting against you, and they are somewhat in sync. Mm-hmm. So it's not just you picking off, you know, Atlanteans or, you know, Amazon soldiers one by one or something. So wonder, at least our heroes are evolving with the fight, but Steppenwolf, there's no evidence of that.
Yeah, and I guess the other thing would be, like, what is the unity, what does it do when completed for him when it reshapes the planet? Is it just reshaping, or is it, will it, is it enhancing him in any way? Does it provide longevity to the Apocalyptons when it's completed?
I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, it is just the same Steppenwolf. He's just meaner, angrier, fully restored. At least he had a good night's rest or something. Pep rally, a little morale boost maybe.
Yeah.
But
I mean, yeah, he had a morale boost. Darkseid's on his way.
Yeah. Yeah, and he's not upset at him. And yeah. There's a lot of cool stuff in here. I really like Cyborg, you know, being apprehended by Steppenwolf, and you see Steppenwolf's incredible, like, what, six-fingered hand.
Yeah, with double, the dew claw on it. Yeah.
The dew claw.
He's got that on his hand.
Yeah.
Because, like, when he grabs his axe, it's like, it's not like what you would see like as his thumb. There's another one way down, and that one like barely grips the axe sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just like a little tiny claw that's just like hanging down to the side.
That keeps it keeps it fancy.
Yeah,
yeah.
What do you do with that thing?
I bet you can give yourself an amazing back scratch with that extra.
I mean, that's one idea.
Yeah.
Ayo.
But you know the Cyborg with all the extra limbs coming out and like trying to attack Steppenwolf. That's a cool little imagery there to show more abilities of Cyborg. That's something that we like to see. He's definitely more engaged in this than he was in the theatrical version. And then Wonder Woman with this kind of shield clash with her gauntlet. This is something I believe was like in the behind the scenes footage, and we all saw this. I mean, you see it in the theatrical cut, but I remember this clearly being something I was like, oh yeah, we're filming this movie. And you saw her do this and you were just thinking like, oh, what is she doing there? And then now we, you know, in the movies we see it like happening, like, oh, there's going to be all this light and flashing, and then she's going to break this bridge. And then there's another moment where she's pulling Steppenwolf down back into this lower level. And it's clearly they're doing what they did in several other scenes in Wonder Woman and in earlier in the Justice League when she's fighting the terrorist group in London, is that they're giving her like this kind of LED strip rope basically to hold on to. And they're like, not just, you know, it's going to be glowing, the lasso of truth, but we actually did actually give you like an LED
rope
to kind of hold on to.
A little rope light.
Yeah. And it looks really, really cool. It's a really nice effect.
It's good for lighting. It really is.
Yeah. Yeah. They do a really good job here having both types of lightning, you know? And that's something to bring up. And a lot of people have always talked about like how Flash's lightning should be kind of gold or yellow.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a lot of lightning in this movie. You know, Wonder Woman has it. Cyborg has it. Steppenwolf has it, the Flash has it. Like, there's so much lightning everywhere that we have to like pick and choose the colors. We can't just say everything's gold or yellow.
Yeah.
Because then it's way too much. So we break it up by, you know, Steppenwolf's eyes will be blue and not gold like his axe is. And then Wonder Woman has like white lightning coming from her gauntlet. And then her lasso will be gold. And then, you know, the Flash will be blue, and he really stands out by being that sharp electric blue. So just, yeah, all these different lightning effects. It's really cool just to see all that kind of juggled around with.
Yeah, I wonder if there was, I don't know if we ever talked about it, but I wonder if there was talk about making like the Electro Staff red to match with like other Apocalyptic colors that we've seen. The Parademon missiles and their cannons, and also inside Cyborg. And I feel like we did talk about this, because then we were like, well, maybe the Electro Axe is an Apocalyptic. It's you know, from somewhere else, but Steppenwolf just has it, or something of that nature. I don't know. It's clearly different than the technology that the parademons use. So,
yeah, if I remember correctly, is the axe not red in the theatrical cut, or is it the toy? I really don't remember. I if anything, it might just be an orange. But the axe is also very different. I think it's a I can't remember if it's a different design of the axe. But
maybe it's just an axe.
It definitely wasn't electrical. Like, it wasn't electro. It was like a heat axe in that other version.
Oh yeah, that sounds about right. So maybe it was red.
Yeah, maybe red or orange. And I'd have to like find a closer look at it to find out if it even is the same design for the axe, because I don't think you ever really get a close look of it. So
here and there, yeah. One of the glories is we can do things minute by minute. So
yeah, we didn't do a minute by minute of the Justice League version. No. Probably something that we should have done, right?
No. Oh boy.
That would have been really tough on us. We'll have to do like the other, 120 minutes of the Justice League version. So I went and I pulled up the theatrical version. And if you look at, let's see, I don't know how to calculate this. So it's about... it'll say T minus 1 hour, 36 minutes and 26 seconds. There's actually a shot where Steppenwolf like raises the electro axe into the air, and it's a shot of that axe. So at least in that version, they clearly want to show what the axe looks like. And I think it is the same exact axe that Steppenwolf has in this version. And I'm looking at it right now because you have it on that screen and I'm looking at it on this screen. And I think it is. I think they did keep it. The same exact axe.
Be easier for the toys.
Easier for the toys, yeah, yeah. But when he holds it in the air, it glows hot red. And then he slams the spike end of it into the ground. And then all the parademons start showing up in that version. So it's definitely not like electrical like it is in Zach's version. In this one, it is like glowing hot red, as in heat. And then, you know, that's why we called it a heat axe. And we did for a long time until we saw the Zack Snyder's version. And I think I also can't remember if it was always called an electro axe. And we were like, why is it called that? There's no electricity, until we saw the Snyder cut, and then we said, oh yeah, there's the electricity that we've been wondering why it was called that.
That's a fun thought. I don't even remember.
Yeah. It's just weird that 4-year gap between the two versions, and all of this, there's all this confusion around, and then now we have this version. Everything's a little bit more defined, but at the time, it's but it's almost like the Flashpoint, right? Where there was one reality, and then now that we start the new 52 and everyone's slowly forgetting.
Yeah, right.
The past, and it's being overwritten, and we're just like, oh yeah, no, we always called it this, right?
It's like, it's familiar, but not the same.
Yeah.
I was going to say, this minute ends with a very, this is Steppenwolf. Steppenwolf coming up after his, he gets knocked down the second time, and it's when he's saying, you know, I watched
your island burn.
The island burn. It's Steppenwolf doing his best Sephiroth impression, and it's killing. He's killing it.
Yeah.
This is Sephiroth, like, through and through, right there.
Have you seen that movie recently, that Advent Children?
I watched the Sephiroth versus Cloud fight.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it's a really good fight. The movie, not so much, but the Cloud vs. Sephiroth one, it's a decent little 3D animation fight from, you know, the early 2000s or whatever.
Yeah, I own that Advent Children movie. And at the time, I thought that was fantastic as a kid. Yeah. And, you know, that was very defining of like kind of like my middle school experience was just like knowing that movies look like that. And it's like, oh, it's just like a long video game cutscene that you're going to watch.
Yep. That's really what it was. And that's what it was. Just the video game cutscene. Yeah.
And yeah, it was quite fantastic at the time. But yeah, I don't know that it holds up as much, but the action scenes do, yeah.
Well, I don't know. I could be biased. Well, I'm just, you know, I kind of get giddy over
Sephiroth.
The Sephiroth in the cloud, you know, the Buster Sword and the Masamune like dynamic between that. It's like, yeah, these are just two mythical swords, and it's awesome. Mm-hmm. Same kind of feeling I get when you watch, you know, Inuyasha, and you're like, yeah, hell yeah, Windscar. This is just a yeah. Tetsaiga Tetsaiga Tetsaiga.
Yeah. So what is it about Sephiroth that would like resonate here?
The fire and the ominous giant figure, and he's just death.
Yeah, Sephiroth does look like a video game character from like, you know, like I want to say. Obviously, like Dark Souls, but I think Dark Souls is also influenced by that era.
Absolutely. And like Dark Souls and like Diablo and all those things, it's like they have that, like biblical demon,
the
look.
Christian mythology, yeah,
the
on,
Christian
on
mythology demon look. And it's like, okay, yeah, so that's just our idea of what evil tends to look like. I mean, Steppenwolf is giving that as well. He's a literal space demon from space hell. You know, so it's still there. So yeah, I think we said it before. Steppenwolf is an excellent Dark Souls villain. But then this moment right here is just like, oh yeah, this is as cool as a moment as when Sephiroth enters, and you're like, damn, this is gonna be a cool fight.
Yeah, it definitely looks like a cutscene from a video game in a good way, but like you have it paused, so there's this red bar for the track, and it's like it almost looks like a, you know, a health bar, right? Because it's just there's just a red bar going across the screen with Steppenwolf there, and you know, if you unfocus a bit, it's just like, oh, it's like if I was fighting a boss, here's the health bar, it's showing up here.
Yeah,
so I really like that.
Wow, I didn't even pick up on that. That's great. now I'm just staring at this photo like, oh yeah, now I'm imagining it as a Dark Souls villain. Mm-hmm. And that's
Steppenwolf
a pretty big health
like,
bar.
Steppenwolf looks like what people try to do with AI now, which is like, show me a crazy cool Dark Souls movie, I don't know, through AI. And it's like, this was created by real people. People came up with this design and this background and stuff, but like this is what people want nowadays when they I guess people think of it as like Eastern interpretation of Western like mythology or like the Christian mythology.
It's like hell is like the battlefield, and you know, they got all the armor, but it still matches with all your horns and stuff. Yeah,
no, he's so impressive as a character, like truly impressive, like leaves an impression on you of like, oh, that's Steppenwolf. And like now when we talk about, you know, Zack Snyder's DC movies and who is Steppenwolf, if you say Steppenwolf nowadays, I think a lot of people will think about this character, like this was the one that got redefined. And I think that's one of the goals of, I think Zack Snyder is like Cyborg and Steppenwolf were characters otherwise, you know, like, oh, I know Cyborg from Teen Titans. Or I know Steppenwolf. If I know my stuff about comics, I know who Steppenwolf is and not the band. So it's like now with the Snyder cut and with the phenomenon that it was, we look at Cyborg and Steppenwolf and go, This is I know this because of them, you know, like, or vice versa. I know them because of this.
Yeah, I think so now. Yeah, I think it's a little bit more palatable and in the more mainstream of what it is. I mean, it's kind of just
more
like,
defined, more declared.
Yeah, it's just if you really want to go back to like the layman's terms of it, this is the director's cut. So people are going to reference the director's cut more than they reference the theatrical version anyway. So,
Especially when you make a huge big deal about it for over 4 years, and you know this theatrical version, just having to go back to the theatrical version just to take notes about it, it is just so different that it's almost like watching the Snyder Cut now, whereas like now I go visit that version and I go, whoa, what is this? This is so weird and different. But I sense the familiarity because I know this scene and I know that shot. And then something else happens and I go, this is totally new footage. I feel like I've never seen this movie before.
Yeah.
Because I've totally forgotten it. So it's it's just a wild thing to see the two different movies.
And I haven't like wanted to refresh myself with the theatrical version. That's the other thing that I got. It's like I just didn't want to watch that movie anymore.
Yeah. I used to watch that movie so much because people in that 4 years, people did so many edits to it to try to capture what would be the Zack Snyder vision and bring in like the music and all that. And so I would watch those scenes so many times and like get used to it. And now I'm like watching the theatrical version, which is like I haven't seen it start to finish before in a long time and unedited by anyone on YouTube or anything. Just watching the movie that came out in 2017, and just I haven't ever done that since. And I don't know that I could. I don't know. I'd probably be like, what am I doing? Why am I watching this? I feel embarrassed.
I'm like, I got sweating. Better uses of my time now. And that's saying something because it's only, what, 2 hours?
Yeah, and even like before we started recording, I was like, okay, hold on, let me watch something. And it's not like the Snyder Cut where I have to like really think about where am I gonna have to click to find what I'm looking for, because it's this 2 hour movie. It's almost like, okay, here they're in the Batcave, and then boom, they're in Prizhornov, and then boom, they're Steppenwolf fighting, and it's like it's all right there because it's so much shorter. Yeah. That it just skips right to it. It catches up, you know, very quickly. It's, you know, just combing through it. But I actually have to, I don't have to, but one day I'm going to have to rewatch it and, you know, just kind of remember what it was like to just have this movie at the time. So, yeah.
Well, good luck with that.
No, you don't want to join me?
No.
No, we can have a little movie night. Come on now. It's 2 hours.
Oh, God. I got better things to do.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. So that's pretty much it for me on this one. You know, Cyborg is, he got disrupted. So now Steppenwolf is he's about to win. All right. We're going to wrap up for today. If you've enjoyed today's show, please consider leaving a 5-star review. It really does help the show and helps new listeners discover our show as well. If you'd like to join the conversation, you can chat with us on Twitter at @DCEUMinute. And if you'd like to hear more bonus content, we also have a Patreon for just $3 with tons of other podcasts to listen to. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll see you on the next one here on DC Cinematic Minute.